listening to ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
And you're with Kelly Higgins Devine. It's 7:45. When you hear the words Philosopher's Stone, you might think of a certain well-known boy wizard.
You're a wizard, Harry.
I'm a what?
Dear Mr. Potter, we are pleased to inform you that you have been accepted at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry.
In a few moments, you will pass through these doors and join your classmates.
Ah, yes, Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone. Well, Harry's not alone in his quest for this object. Many tales have been told of the substance that could supposedly turn ordinary metals into gold and grant immortality to those who possess it. A team of researchers believes it has cracked a 400-year-old code in a text thought to contain the recipe for the Philosopher's Stone. Dr. Richard Bean is one of them. He's a researcher in data science at the University of Queensland. Richard Bean, good evening.
Thanks for having me on, Kelly.
Look, this is fascinating. I thought that the Philosopher's Stone was just an object of legend.
Well, it makes for great fiction writing, but certainly it was one of the goals of the quests for the alchemists back in the 1600s. Isaac Newton, the famous physicist, he was searching for the Philosopher's Stone. He wrote many volumes about his alchemical experiments.
So how did you get involved in trying to crack this code?
Well, back when I was a teenager, I read the book Journey to the Centre of the Earth by Jules Verne, the famous French writer who wrote Around the World in 80 Days and 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And it has a great story in it about cryptography or code breaking. So it's about a professor who finds a coded message from a 16th century alchemist in Latin. And when he breaks the code after locking everyone in the house so nobody's going to eat or leave the house, he finds it contains instructions for how to go to a mountain in Iceland and descend into a volcano and reach the centre of the earth. So I always remember reading this text and wondering if I could solve a Latin cipher from a 16th century alchemist myself. And here's a real 16th century alchemist, Arthur Dee, so I had my opportunity.
And this, it's a bit of an involved story as to how this text sort of came to be in the domain of, hey, code breakers, can you tell us what's going on here? What was in the manuscript that you had to break a code to unravel it?
So I'll have to add a little bit more context.
Yes.
Yeah, there's an annual historical cryptology conference every year in Europe, and two researchers, one from the Science History Institute in Philadelphia in the US, Megan Pjorko, and a researcher from the University of Graz in Austria, Sarah Lang, presented manuscripts that Megan had found in the British Library by these two alchemists, John and Arthur Dee, and it was written in something that looked like gobbledygook. It had a Latin heading that said "Marrow of Hermetic Philosophy," and all the context was about alchemical experiments and trying to find the philosopher's zone, but they couldn't make head nor tail of the text. They tried putting it through automated computer solfers, and eventually they just said, well, we'll publish it here and maybe someone will be able to solve it sometime in the future.
What were you looking for then as a code breaker to get the key that would unlock this cipher?
Yeah, well, John Dee mainly wrote in English and his son Arthur Dee mainly wrote in Latin, and this was a shared notebook of both of them. So it either had to be in Latin or in English, I thought. So the first thing I had to decide was what language it was written in and what method was used to encipher it. So there was a table next to it, which was something like a what's called a Balasso della Porta cipher. So it was a cipher invented in the mid-1500s by an Italian cryptologist, Giovanni Balasso. And so I had to work out how this table was used and to encipher the plain text. And so I went about that using a computer and a table of Latin language statistics. So I don't speak Latin myself, but it's all about finding patterns in the enciphered text. And then once you find a bit of a break, so what you think is actual Latin words that you can make out of the text, then you want to try to expand those Latin words. So move them left and move them right, fill in the blanks. And there's an article on the conversation website that I wrote, which has a page from the notebook I was using. So I was filling in all the blanks there in Latin. And it's, you know, Latin has a lot of these common endings, like words ending in UQ, UE, US, UM, agricoli, agricoli, that sort of thing. Mm. So it is quite helpful having those patterns.
ABC Radio Brisbane in Queensland, you're with Kelly Higgins-Devine and it's 8 to 8. And tonight you're hearing from Dr. Richard Bean, who's a researcher in data science at the University of Queensland and has been a part of cracking a 400-year-old code that was in a text thought to contain the recipe for the Philosopher's Stone. So what was that feeling when you thought, oh, wait a minute, I think I've got this?
Oh, it's fantastic. You know that the reason it was so hard to crack was that it had a 45-character key. So that's a lot longer than any computer password you have to type in. I mean,
yeah, unless they could have put password 123, Richard. You know?
Yeah, and that was all in Latin. And it was the last lines of a poem from an Italian poet in the early 1500s that was about Jason and the Argonauts and the Greek myths of the quest for the golden fleece. And so it was meaningful for Arthur D, who was doing the enciphering, presumably, because that quest for the golden fleece was reinterpreted into the quest for the philosopher's stone. So, yeah, it was a sort of a case of like a reinterpretation of an ancient text.
Does the text allow the person who understands it to create a philosopher's stone?
I think once you translate it from Latin into a modern language like English, which we've tried to do, there's still another layer of meaning there. So it refers to using an athanor, which is a kind of alchemical slow cooker or alchemical furnace, and it's got mercury, but then it uses euphemisms like you know, ravens and swans and eggs and things like that. And it isn't like following a modern chemical formula, because there you have very pure ingredients and it'll explain temperatures and accurate times, whereas here we just have you know, wait for the mixture to become red or white or black and take it out of the furnace at different times and wait for three moons. So it's not like, you know, increase the temperature to 400 degrees and you know, test the purity. That's what's so interesting about this, because it's the process of how modern science was developed. So alchemy is the predecessor to chemistry, but they were just learning about these things. They had no idea about whether you could really turn metals into gold or not.
Alchemists were a strange but fascinating bunch, weren't they?
Yeah, as I mentioned, Isaac Newton was involved in the quest for turning base metals into gold. And chemists only succeeded in turning like other metals into gold with particle accelerators in the 20th century. For example, in the 1980s at the Lawrence Berkeley Laboratory in California, they changed a few atoms of bismuth into gold. But the process is so difficult and expensive that it's much easier just to dig it up.
Yep. So is there another code that you're working on at the moment?
Well, I like to investigate all sorts of codes from history, but this is one of the most interesting in terms of a great story to tell, I've cracked other codes from the IRA in the 1920s, from a Cambridge Don in the 1940s, the Afrin War in the 1960s. I'm always looking for sort of challenges and puzzles, and there are lots of websites out there with lists of these puzzles. For example, there's one called Mystery Twister C3 that's got Vatican ciphers from the 1600s that no one's been able to read yet. It's very mysterious. There's always lots of things to work on.
Well, it sounds, if you're interested, like if that's kind of your thing, it sounds fascinating. Like it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah. It's a good way to exercise your maths and computer programming skills and take them in different directions. And it's really hard to explain to someone who's never done this, like the thrill of discovery when you do realize you're reading something that nobody's read for 400 years or 100 years. That's what makes these things so fascinating.
Yeah. Dr. Richard Bean, it's been great having a chat about this. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, Kelly.
Dr. Richard Bean, researcher in data science at the University of Queensland, involved in cracking a 400-year-old code in a text thought to contain the recipe for the Philosopher's Stone.